Bible speaks, quench not the Spirit of God. Quench not. In other words, don't stop what he's tried to do. Grieve not the Spirit of God. What's that mean? Don't continue on doing wrong when he's already showed you what right is. I mean, that's what his work is, to show us, not make us. Show us. To show us the right way, to show us the way of light, to show us the pathway of righteousness. That's what he came into this world to do, to come alongside and show us. Yeah. Yeah. Praise God. This is like trying to teach your child how to ride a bicycle. They always want, they want you right there by his side, by their side. You know, they don't want you. So we show them, we keep showing them. Sooner or later, we let go. And we expect them to ride. Because we've showed them the way. We've helped them all along the way, but sooner or later, they've got to ride. The Holy Ghost, that's that love of God. He comes, he shows us, he walks there with us, he holds us. He says, you've got to ride. You've got to walk. You've got to walk. Hallelujah. Praise our God. Glory. His name is power. His name is healing. His name is life. Praise God. He's everything that we need. Amen. I want to share just a few things with us this morning. I'm going to call it this morning, and I'm going to say noon doesn't happen for 10 minutes. Amen. I just want to share these few things. I'm not going to share all the scriptures and all the message. They make a little reference to it, but the message this morning that I was going to share is called Dead in the Water. Anybody's ever heard that terminology, dead in the water? It's just dead in the water. Well, that terminology, it's a nautical term, and it means that whatever is dead in the water has no momentum or chance a progression. Dead in the water. It was originally referred to a motionless sail ship on a windless day. You know, because there was no other source of propelling it or moving it other than the wind, and there just was no wind. And thus it was just dead in the water. And then there's another terminology. How many's ever heard this terminology? Take the wind out of someone's sails. So, man, that just took the winds out of my sail. Once again, that's a nautical terminology. And it means, in the sense we use it now, it means to cause someone to lose confidence or energy. Now, when it was first used and where it was what transpired when it was first used is when two ships were out on the ocean and they were enemies, so to speak. One ship would maneuver to where it would block the wind of the other ship, thus leaving it dead in the water. And thus they took the wind out of their sails, which made them not be able to flee. Well, God doesn't want you and I dead in the water. But the enemy is notorious for trying to take the wind out of our sails. He's notorious for coming in and trying to hinder the move of God in our hearts, in our minds, in our lives. I mean, that's just, he wants to take the wind out of the... Why? Because when the wind of God, the Holy Ghost of God, lays hold of our sails that we have put up to God, hallelujah, I mean, there's a lot of terminology here and a lot of things we could refer to. As, you know, we talk about praising God, about putting up our lightning rod so the fire of God can fall on us. Just terminology of the Bible, but the wind of God is the Holy Ghost. I mean, you can read in the Old Testament when David asked God if he was supposed to go up into the battle, and God said, no, I want you to go down behind the mulberry trees. And when you hear the rustling of the leaves in the trees, then go. Wow, what was that? That was that wind of God, that Holy Ghost of God, or the angels of the Lord. They went into that battle before David, and then David was to come in behind them. Praise God. See, you and I have a helper. You and I have a comforter. You and I have the Spirit of truth. We have the Holy Ghost of God. Hallelujah. And He wants to be the wind in our sails, to keep us progressing, to keep us momentum going forward with our God. But the enemy wants to come between us and the wind. How does he do that? It doesn't really take a whole lot. The first thing he does is distract our minds. You ever been sitting in the house of God and your mind just goes somewhere that, where'd that come from? It's the enemy trying to block the wind. Sitting in the house of God and you're thinking about something at the house. What is that? Well, that's the enemy coming in to block the wind. Have you ever read in the Bible where it says, bring every thought under subjection to Jesus Christ, and especially in the house of God? Praise God. Hallelujah. But if your mind is always wandering, that's the enemy trying to block the wind of God, and thus leaving you and I dead in the water with no life, no momentum, no energy, no desire to go forth. It's already been exhorted here this morning that some may feel like there's just no hope of progressing. Well, that's just a lie of the enemy. It was exhorted. It is. Because God's word says there's always hope. He is the hope of life. Hallelujah. He is the power. He is the healing. He is the deliverer. He is the life. Hallelujah. So it's not a matter. You always have hope because Jesus Christ is alive and well. And the power of the Holy Ghost is moving on your behalf to show you the way. Sometimes you just got to get the gumption and follow. See, that's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to cut off the wind and leave you dead in the water. What's that mean? God's all around you, God's moving, and you have no life. You're dead in the water. But God wants you full of life, full of wind. Hallelujah. And so how in the world do I get the enemy out of the way? Well, you're expecting me to say resist the devil. Nope, that's not what I'm going to say. Well, I'm going to say it, but that's not what's first. Number one, you're going to have to bring your mind back to God. Draw nigh to God. What is that? That's taking your mind, putting full focus on Almighty God and what He's wanting to do in my life right here, right now. And then what's the next step? Submit thyself unto God. Surrender. Say, yes, Lord, I'm here. Speak to me. Show me the way. And so the way you resist the devil is by then stepping up and doing God's will. See, resisting the devil really doesn't have anything to do with you personally taking on the devil or even personally talking to the devil. It's just more or less you're turning your back on him and you're going towards God. That's how you resist the devil. Too many times we get the mentality, all right, I'm going to go toe-to-toe with the devil. I'm going to fight with the devil. I'm going to tell him where it's at. And I'm going to tell. you done messed up, you're sunk, he's blocked the wind out of your sails, and you're dead in the water. No, the only thing you have to do to the devil is just turn your back on him and walk towards God. He ain't going to follow you. He ain't going to follow you into the presence of God. Hallelujah. He ain't going to follow you into the power of God. He ain't going to try to do anything when you start getting a hold of the kingdom of God. Because there'll be a time when you will just stand face to face with the devil. But most of the time, that's not the case. The case is you turn your back to him and start listening to God. Start walking with God. But there will come a time when your strength and your power and your anointing, and you'll turn him full in the face and you'll rebuke him in the name of Jesus Christ. Get thee behind me, Satan. That's what Jesus did. He was talking to Peter when he did it, but that's what Jesus did. But to grow to that power and to grow to that strength, you're going to have to learn how to submit to God and turn your back on the devil and go towards God. That way, he won't block your wind and will not take the wind out of your sails, and you will not be dead in the water, but you will be full of power, and you will be going forward. And you will have great momentum. I think they taught on momentum in Encounter Night. I didn't get to hear the teaching, but momentum's a good thing. Hallelujah. Praise God. You can take down a lot of things with momentum. You know, I'll give you a little illustration, and then I'll close. I was raised on a farm, and we had a big piece of machinery that harvested the grain. I mean, it is large. It is probably 25, 30 foot long. I mean, with the header on it, it's 15, 16 foot wide. I mean, it's wide. It's got large tires and heavy. And then when you start harvesting the grain, the weight of the grain is caught in the tank of it. And if it's a rainy season, sometimes you get stuck. And when you get a big piece of equipment stuck, you're stuck. I'm not talking about a two-wheel drive pickup that spins out on grass. Some people think, oh, I got stuck. You just spin it on grass. No, no, no. That's not stuck. Stuck is when it's buried all the way down to the frame, will not go forward, cannot be moved. But we had an answer for that. We had an antidote for that. I always loved doing it, too. Had a big old tow rope about the one we used that time. It was probably 2.5 inches around, made out of poly string, and it had stretch to it. We'd hook one end to that harvesting machine, and even in the midst of the mud, we'd hook a tractor, about 100-horse tractor, to the other end, back right up to it. The tow rope was probably 30 foot long, maybe a little longer. So you back up to the machine that's stuck, you hook the rope to the machine that's stuck, you hook the rope to the tractor, you put tractor in about the middle gear, and you full throttle it, and you get going about 6-7 miles an hour with that tractor that only weighs half the weight of that big combine that's in that mud and stuck, and you get that, and you just take off. And you just keep driving. And you'll hit the end of that tow rope, because it will stretch out. And your tractor will start to spin out in the mud a little bit, but all of a sudden, that combine will poof right out of that hole. That's power. That's using the power of that tow rope to actually extract. Not the power of the tractor. The power of the tow rope when it was stretched out, that it wants to come back together. And it would pull it right up out of there. Now, Jason buried a big gravel truck, and it didn't work for it. We just dug holes out there where the tractor was. And we'd hit the end of that. It'd just be there. And I'd have to back up. Wow. What I'm trying to get at is if you're stuck, there's power. There's power of God that'll get you unstuck. Hallelujah. But when the Holy Ghost comes moving, and the Holy Ghost comes by like he did this morning, you're going to have to be willing to be sucked in with him and begin to enter into the presence of an almighty God. For it's in the presence of the Lord where sin, the yoke of sin, is broken. The anointing of God breaks the yoke of sin. Because the devil wants you stuck. He wants you dead in the water. He wants to block and take the wind out of your sails. He wants to stop the momentum and the energy of what God's been doing in your life. And he will stop at nothing to block that wind. But you and I have got the purpose in our hearts that we're going to let the wind blow. We are going to draw nigh to God, submit ourselves to God, and thus the distractions will be taken away, and we will take off. Amen. See, we can tie the hands of God. Almighty God, we can tie the hands of God by fear, doubt, and unbelief. Fear. Doubt. I just don't think I can. I don't think there's any hope. That's doubt. Unbelief. I'm just going to give up. Unbelief. What good's that going to do? When you could rise up, lay hold of Jesus Christ. For his name is power. His name is healing. His name is life. Hallelujah. Glory. Don't you just love the story of Caleb? Caleb served God. Caleb never allowed the enemy to take the wind out of his sails. Never did. Caleb was never, ever dead in the water. He had a lot he had to deal with, too. Yeah. You think you got it bad? Be stuck with about 1 million people who messed up his entrance into the land of Canaan. And he was ready to go in and possess the land. But he went into that land, and here's something I want to share with you. He went into that land, and he desired a portion of land for his inheritance, and actually God gave it to him because he followed the Lord wholly. And that word holy there in the Bible means entirely, completely, perfectly, totally, in all parts or kinds. He wholly followed the Lord. And that word followed means pursued, succeeded, accompanied, attended, imitated, obeyed, observed, practiced, adhered to. Wow. Sounds like somebody I'd like to be like. And because he wholly followed the Lord gave him a promise 40 years before that he could have that portion of land. But now they've been 40 years, and it's actually been 45 years. And Caleb is still filled with humility, reverence, worship, and praise. And he makes this statement, "The Lord hath kept me alive." Praise God. That's what God's all about, is keeping you and I alive. Hallelujah. Keeping you and I with a full wind in our sails. Hallelujah. And that's exactly what Caleb wanted that portion of land, possibly because this is Hebron. It's the city of Arba. And Arba was a great man among the Anakims. And that's found in Joshua 14 and 15. We find it called Kirjath Arba in Genesis 23 and 2. Because this is the place where Abraham's wife Sarah died. And close to that area, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob lived most of their time when they were in Canaan. And near it was the cave of Machpelah. And that's where Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were buried. Perhaps this is what led Caleb to go spy out this portion of land and made him to covet this rather than any other part of the territory in the land of Canaan. Because that's where the founding patriarch of faith was buried. He didn't care if it had giants. He wanted to be right there. Hallelujah. Right there were the men that preceded them served God. Woo! Praise God. Hallelujah. So he never was found dead in the water. The Lord kept him alive for 45 years. After 45 years, he still had the same strength he had 45 years before. And he went in and he possessed that land. Hallelujah. He never let any grass grow under his feet, so to speak. Hallelujah. The wind was never taken out of his sail and he was never dead in the water. He always had momentum. He always had energy and he always went forward. Anybody want to be a Christian? Because that's what one walks like. That's what one acts like. That's how one lives. Hallelujah. Now, you can call whatever you want a Christian, but unless you're living like that, you are not really a Christian. Because a Christian is a follower, an imitator. A Christian is one that continually keeps the wind in the sails. A Christian is the one that continues to keep momentum going. A Christian is one that continually progresses. Was there any battles that Caleb had to overcome? Whoa. How would you like to go 40 years with a people that wouldn't serve God? I wouldn't have liked it at all. And didn't backslide. He may have had to bite his tongue a time or two. I don't know. Oh, man, here they go again. Oh, come on, guys. Haven't you learned anything yet? We could have went in and possessed that land 40 years ago. And you were scared of a giant? Whoa. Wow. This is why we don't want to give way or have room for fear, doubt, nor unbelief. But they're giants. But we've got to take up, as Caleb did, not a problem for our God. Not a problem for our God. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Glory. And he took that mountain. And the thing is, it was a mountain. It wasn't flat land. That just means that the battle was even going to be harder. Oh, it's just too hard. I'm so sorry. Rise up. Catch the wind in your sail. Keep the momentum going. And because if you have momentum, no matter what the enemy tries to grab you with, it'll just suck him away. Because momentum can do great things. That's why I shared that story with you about that pulling that con. It was the momentum and the contraction. And just pulled it right up out of there. We were so glad when we found that tow rope. You couldn't have done that with a chain. Chain would have broke. Oh, but with that tow rope, man, I pulled so many people out of the mud with that thing. Every time. I peeled out of snow. My brother-in-law pulled him out of the mud so many times. He's still in debt to me for that. Both of them. Praise God. Hallelujah to the Lamb. You see, God is so good. And he wants to give us the good gifts of the kingdom. And he wants to empower us. And he wants our momentum to keep going forward. You see, as long as you're going forward, you're no match. The enemy's no match for you. The momentum you have in your walk with God, the enemy's no match for that. The only time he has any hope of hindering you is if he can take the wind out of your sails and get you dead in the water. Praise our God. Stand with me again one more time, if you would. Hallelujah. Father in heaven, we praise your holy name. God, we thank you for your Holy Ghost moving in this house here this morning. Thank you, Lord God, for your word and the truths of your kingdom. Lord God, we thank you, Lord, for the men of the Bible like Caleb, Lord, that show us, oh God, that we can be strong in the power of your might, that we can have a faith and an allegiance unto you that will last a lifetime. Hallelujah. And Father in heaven, we pray that you would continue to move and work in our hearts and our lives until we can come again this evening, Lord, should you tarry. And the trumpet not sound, that we'll gather together again this evening, Lord God, and hear from the Word of God and hear from the book of Proverbs and the wisdom of the book of Proverbs. Father in heaven, we just thank you for your many blessings. We thank you for all those that have come into your house this day. We ask you to bless them, strengthen them. We thank you, Lord, for all the labor of preparing the food for our dinner this day. We ask you to bless those that have labored. We ask you to bless this food. We thank you so much for it. In Jesus' name, amen.